Welcome to the latest Buff Zone podcast, sort of an emergency podcast, as we call it. Pat Rooney is the men's and women's basketball teams at Colorado both won first round NCAA tournament games on Friday. So we decided to let's throw a pod together to talk about the second round games, which happened on Sunday. It's a very quick turnaround for both these teams.
Plus, I just wanted to hear your voice again, Brian. How you doing in Kansas?
I'm doing lovely in Kansas. How is Indiana?
Good. Surprisingly sunny. As you know, native Hoosier here. Got to see an old classmate of mine last night, who's a big Purdue fan. And my mom and sister graciously made the drive down to join me for breakfast this morning. So all that and a little basketball too.
Yeah, and some good basketball. Let's start with the men's team because well, they played before the women anyway, but quite a game. I mean, I saw bits and pieces of it as the women were getting ready to play, and I was sort of watching the Kansas State women play at the same time. But a lot of the chatter I'm seeing on social media is that's one of the best games in CU men's basketball history, and some people have said that's the biggest shot in CU men's basketball history. Now, I don't know about that. It's certainly huge, but it's a long history. But either way, whether you debate that or not, I mean, it was a fantastic and entertaining basketball game.
Absolutely. I mean, I walked out of the arena much later thinking the same thing. That's up there. I want a little time to pass and have some perspective before you proclaim anything, an all-time this or an all-time that. But, for me personally, I felt like it was one of the greatest games I've personally ever had a chance to cover. It's definitely up there. And what a game. I tell you, I wrote a little bit about this on Thursday. Florida coach Todd Golden was going on and on about how he wanted to get in an up-tempo game. The Buffs have played some slower games recently, admittedly, and as we know, their depth has been whittled a bit, and their starters are logging heavy minutes. I think a lot of the pace of play for the Buffs games recently has been dictated as much by the opponent as anything the Buffs have done. Like Washington State, for instance, Boise State's a similar opponent. They're both slower paced teams, kind of big physical teams, and that's just the way the game was. I was listening to Coach Golden say all this about getting them in an up tempo game, and I was sitting there thinking, it's like, well, I think the Buffs might like that. I think they might enjoy getting into a game like that, and I wasn't certain that that's really the approach you wanted to take with the Buffaloes. And sure enough, it kind of came back to bite the Gators a little bit. Incredible back and forth, though. Take nothing away from Florida. It was a great game. I mean, two college basketball teams hitting 100 in regulation doesn't happen very often. Both teams played great, and obviously KJ Simpson with just an iconic shot at the end. It felt like that ball was hovering on the rim for 5 minutes before it finally dropped through.
You wrote also about KJ Simpson, maybe finally getting some national attention. And it's funny, I actually retweeted this. Rob Gronkowski, of all people, tweeted about this game yesterday, saying, "What a game. Got me off my couch watching and my nerves twitching the last 4 minutes of the game. Great performance by both teams. Love it." The point is not that Rob Gronkowski tweeted, but that people, more eyes are on Colorado and KJ Simpson, to your point in your article, because of that game, more so than any of the previous 30 some games he's played this year, or 100 some in his career. That was a huge moment for him.
Absolutely. And I was glad he had, I've mentioned this in some of the pieces I've written recently. You get torn because it's not necessarily our job to stump for people or promote people. That's not exactly what our role is, but it's also our role to tell the truth as we see it and as it happens. And personally, I still am kind of flabbergasted that KJ Simpson did not at least get honorable mention All-American in the AP vote. I have a vote in that. I put it out there. I had KJ on my third team. You only need two votes to get honorable mention. Apparently, not a single other person in that voting pool had KJ Simpson on their ballot. They had Keon Brooks was honorable mention from Washington. I don't know how. There's other players on there. I don't know how they got two votes and KJ Simpson didn't. I'm not trying to take away from anyone else's season. But the idea that this guy's not at least, I mean, he should have been at least a third team All-American, but you add the honorable mention list, you know, it's another 10 or 12 players. The idea that he's not top 25 to 30 players in the country is, you know, as like I said, it's our job to tell the truth. And he is one of the top players in the country.
Yeah. Well, I know that he would take a, you know, victory and more victories in the tournament over any of those personal accolades. So, you know, obviously a great performance and a great moment for him. And I do want to bring up too, you know, I'm sure you saw this. There's a Twitter account, Optistats, and they had this thing yesterday that CU, that was the first D1 team in 25 years, and not just NCAA tournament, but any game, to have all five starters with at least 10 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 assists.
Just an amazing all-around performance. And it was hard to all work it all in one game story, I'll be honest, you know, but everyone played well. Eddie Lampkin was awesome. Tristan Da Silva has been awesome in both of these tournament games. Javon Hadley stepped up and made 9 of 11 free throws and hit some big shots and, you know, kind of provided the grit that he's been, you know, providing all season. Cody Williams had some nice plays off the bench and got to the free throw line a few times. So just, you know, Luke O'Brien hit all 5 of his shots. It was great to see him have a great tournament game as well. So a lot of heroes for the Buffs. You know, even Bangot Dak broke the rim on an alley-oop. I mean, it wasn't broken, but he bent it down and it refused to snap back after a big dunk in the first half. He didn't play a lot of minutes, but made some big contributions when he was in there. So KJ Simpson, again, kind of led the way, but it was definitely not a one-man show. Everyone played really well for Florida too, but really balanced effort for Colorado.
Yeah, and now they move on, and they've got to play Marquette, who is the number 2 seed in their region. You know, Marquette's ranked number 8 in the country, lost the Big East championship game to UConn, which, you know, there's no shame in that. UConn's the number 1 seed and defending national champion, but bounced back and had a pretty good performance beating Western Kentucky in the first round. So what do you see out of this matchup with Marquette?
Yeah, it's interesting with Marquette that I was wondering how their star point guard, Tyler Kolek, would come out and play in the first round win against Western Kentucky. You know, he has been out since February 28th, didn't play in the Big East tournament. He had an oblique injury. I believe he wound up missing, I think it was 7 or 8 games. So you always wonder how he's going to come back and perform. But he was great against Western Kentucky. 7 for 13, hit a couple three-pointers, 11 assists. Didn't look like he had been a guy who'd been on the sideline at all. So obviously Marquette coming out of a rugged conference in the Big East. You know, that matchup, you know, to me is going to be matchup a couple of the premier point guards in the country between Kolek and KJ Simpson. And, yeah, we'll see where the chips fall. You know, Marquette's another team that's really well balanced. Cam Jones had a big game in the opening win against Western Kentucky with 28 points. They had 4 guys in double figures. So it's a team a lot like the Buffs in that their starters are logging heavy minutes right now, but they get contributions across the board from those guys.
Yeah, and a lot of people, you know, I hear, you know, say that Marquette might be the most vulnerable of those 2 seeds. Is this a winnable game for the Buffs, and how do they win it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a winnable game. I mean, I think they all are at this point. We've seen the tournament results from around the country in this tournament, especially when you get in the second round. I mean, anybody can beat anybody, I feel like, especially this year with all the parity we've seen in college basketball. But, you know, for the Buffs, it's the Tad Boyle's favorite pillar to lean on. They're going to have to guard up. They're going to have to make life tough for Tyler Kolek. You know, I think if he gets into that double-digit assist range, it's not going to be a good game for the Buffaloes. They're going to have to make things hard for Marquette, which they didn't really do against Florida. Again, it was kind of dictated by the pace of the game and the way that game was going. The Buffs got some stops when they needed to in the second half. Florida obviously made a run. But I think that defense, you know, I don't expect, you can't imagine it'll be another dual 100-point game once again. So it'll come down to defense, I think, for the Buffs. If they can make life hard for Marquette, you know, I think offensively we've seen with Colorado, offense has generally not been a problem with this team all year. They're going to score some points. If they can make it a long afternoon for Marquette on Marquette's offensive end, the Buffs will have a shot at advancing and getting that first Sweet 16.
Yeah, you know, we saw them play this kind of grinded out, you know, low scoring game against Boise, and then this high scoring one against Florida. You know, looking at like Marquette scores, it's almost feels like this one will be kind of in the middle of that. Like that should be a game more normal, like 70s, 80s type score. That I think it could be a third different type of game in three games for the Buffs.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing that's been really impressive about this week is the Buffs went out and won two tournament games, not just in two different locations, not just technically less than 48 hours apart, but they did it in two completely different styles as well. You know, kind of won the grudge match and the kind of street brawl fight that the Boise State game was, and then came out and managed to win in the track meet against Florida. So, four players in double figures for Marquette on average. Another one was Stevie Mitchell right there at 9 points a game. Buffs have been pretty solid rebounding all year. They're very good on offense, as we know. If they can get stops against Marquette, that's going to be the key. Now, unfortunately, I was kind of riding and cranking after the game. I didn't get to watch much of the women's game. Obviously, I was following your updates out of Kansas. And, you know, for a team that was stubbing their toes a little bit down the stretch, how do you feel like they came out and responded in the win against Drake on yesterday, Friday? I'm sorry, I'm losing track of my days a little bit here.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the Buffs look great. You know, they got down 9-0 early, and you know, Drake came out and was just shooting lights out in the first couple of minutes. But then, you know, from that point on, you know, CU just dominated. I mean, you're down 9-0 early, and they had the lead at the end of the first quarter. So they got it together pretty quickly and really just kind of, you know, dominated. It was only a 5-point game at the half, but you know, took it out in the third quarter and built a big lead. And I thought the Buffs just kind of got back to playing great basketball. But really, you know, this is three games in a row now they've played really good basketball. There's 3 minutes against Oregon State in that Pac-12 quarterfinal that you would like to have back, where they didn't play very well. They gave up a 13-0 run in the fourth quarter, but they've been playing good basketball, and I think it just showed up, you know, really well yesterday against Drake. And so I think the Buffs are kind of rolling a little bit and you know, feeling confident. I think they bring a lot of confidence into Sunday's matchup against Kansas State.
Now, obviously, the difference in the women's tournament is, you know, this is a road game for the Buffaloes. They have to play Kansas State on their home floor. Obviously, they did it last year at Duke, winning in the second round, and were able to advance to the Sweet 16. What has to happen to be able to do that once again and win on an opponent's home floor?
Yeah, well, first off, I mean, they've got to deal with a crowd, you know, that they didn't have to deal with really much at Duke last year. I mean, it was Duke's home floor. I'm looking it up as we're talking here, but the announced attendance for that game at Duke last year was 1,904. Which is not very good for, you know, an NCAA tournament game. You would think that they would have more. Well, K-State had, 9,600 or whatever it was last night for their game. The place, the atmosphere was electric. I mean, it's going to be a much different atmosphere than CU had to deal with last year. And they've played in those environments before, so it's not a big deal. But, Portland, to their credit, played fairly well in that environment. But the Buffs have to handle that first. I think they also can't get off to the slow start they got off against Drake. I mean, if they get down 9-0 or something similar against Kansas State, I'm not sure they'll come back. I mean, that was kind of what K-State rode yesterday. They got off to a huge start against Portland. Portland battled back, but it was, you know, kind of K-State's game the rest of the way, and all kind of riding off that start. And so I think the first quarter is going to be huge for the Buffs.
Yeah, and for me, just kind of like I said, I unfortunately didn't really get to watch much, but I feel like obviously it was a tough sledding down the stretch for the Buffs. They lost some games at 6 out of 8, tough opponents along the way, but You know, this team, unlike the men's team is battle tested at this point, but the women's team has been through these wars plenty of times, right? I mean, they got to the Sweet 16 last year. They won on the road to do so last year. The Pac-12, as we know, on the women's side is, you know, probably the toughest league in the nation. And the Buffs played in all these marquee opponents, many of them on the road down the stretch. It feels like that's an experience that kind of pays off when you get to this stage.
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, K-State does not have that tournament experience, but they're a very veteran group that's going to be really, you know, tough to contend with. I think one of the key matchups, I mean, we saw Erinette Vonleh have a really good game yesterday. She had 18 points, 10 rebounds, and going up against, you know, Drake's center, Anna Miller, who was the Missouri Valley Defensive Player of the Year the last 2 years, and Erinette really dominated. Well, she's going to have a tougher matchup on Sunday because Ayoka Lee of Kansas State, 6'6" center, four-time All Big 12 player, really one of the best centers in the entire country, is going to be a much different task for Erinette Vonleh. And we've seen Vonleh do really well against some undersized centers, but not as much against some of the ones that can match her physically. And Lee can match her physically. So I think Vonleh has got to step up and play even way better than she did last night.
Well, once again, unfortunately, I might be challenged myself to watch the women's game back-to-back games. It's tough for you and I, but pretty special couple days if you're a Buffs fan.
Yeah, and actually, you know, based on the timing of it, you know, the men's game is still going to be going on when the women tip off probably. So, you know, I think we can forgive you for not watching the women's game. You'll be a little bit busy, but for Buffs fans are at home, you know, you're going to have to do a little channel flipping for a few minutes, but that's pretty awesome. You know, I mentioned it earlier this week, but Friday was the first time in CU history that the two teams played NCAA tournament games on the same day. And now tomorrow they get to do it again. So pretty cool time for Buffs basketball fans. And we're sitting here with both teams having a chance to go to the Sweet 16, which is pretty awesome.
Pretty cool. And for, you know, different paths to get there, it's pretty cool as well. Obviously, the women went to the Sweet 16 last year, and have been one of the top teams in the nation all year, but kind of fell off that just a little bit down the stretch. The men, as we know, dealt with injuries all year. You know, in early February, it looked like, you know, especially, you know, maybe a week into February, looked like the NCAA tournament was going to be a long shot. And now at this point, they're one of the hotter teams left in the field. So very exciting for both programs. And like I said, if you're a Buffs fan, Sunday should be a pretty fun day.
Yeah. And you and I, as we wrap up here, we're kind of talking about the grind of this time of year. You know, you have had it more so than me because you go from Oregon to Vegas to Dayton to Indianapolis. And so it's been a grind. For you especially, but this time of year is kind of a grind, but it's a fun grind. And you know, I know that you know, I would love to get on a plane for Albany, New York next week, and I'm sure you would enjoy getting back on a plane. Where do the men go again?
Dallas.
Where? Dallas.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm sure you would enjoy, even with through the grind. I mean, it's a fun grind. This is the kind of reward that we get sometimes for. You know, the grind of going through some of these seasons is it's fun when you get to this point of the year.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. It is a grind, like you said. But I'll tell you what, with all the traveling and you know, it's been a wild couple weeks with getting back and forth. And like you said, the Oregon trip right before the Pac-12 tournament. I mentioned earlier, but I'm losing track of days. Like I even started writing the story yesterday, and I think I wrote, you know, the Buffs, my first draft, and the Buffs pulled out a win on Thursday afternoon, and I'm rereading. It's like, wait, what day is it again? Oh, yeah, it's Friday. So I've, like, even today, I was talking to my wife back home about something she has to do on Sunday, and I'm like, don't you have to go to such and such today? And I'm like, oh, wait, it's only Saturday. So losing track of days, but at this point, like you said, it's a good problem to have.
Yeah, well, we'll see if we you know, get to keep our, quote, problem going through tomorrow. So we know we're at least going to cover some games tomorrow. So you know, Pat, have a good game out there in Indy, and we'll see how it turns out and see if Buffs get to play basketball past tomorrow.
Absolutely. You do the same, my friend, in Kansas. And for all you out there, hope you're enjoying the games. And thanks a lot for listening.